Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on SEN 1170 AM Sydney, SENQ 693 in Brizzy, SEN 1620 on the Gold Coast and across the network, wherever you tuned in via the app. Good morning to you, Matthew Johns.
Matthew White, how are you?
I'm good. I always worry when I hear Matthew. That's why I threw it at you first. It's normally a magistrate saying that to me. How was your weekend, mate?
Matty, my weekend was good. I must say, straight from the top, I've got to tip my hat to all the players over the course of the weekend for being able to play in those conditions. I was sitting, honestly, watching that game yesterday. I half suspected leading into the match they might have postponed. For those players, like, I'm sitting watching them out in the middle. It was almost 40 degrees. Mm. It was just incredible. And of course, there were errors and stuff like that. But first and foremost, the effort they put in and the style of football, it really was pretty remarkable.
It was, and I want to tap into that a little bit deeper about, does the game need a bit of a rethink? I mean, we can't control what the weather's doing at this time of the year, but we can certainly control how they go about it. The text line and call line both open for business. 0457 736 736, or give us a call 1300 01 1170. Our best caller this morning on that number will win a Signet Boost power bank. So big crowds, Matty, massive hits, 5 of the 8 matches decided by 4 points or less. But what does need a rethink? We've touched there on the extreme heat. Also want to know, do you think the 10-minute sin bin needs a rethink, especially given what happened with Jackson Hastings and the 15-minute HIA? So Sinbin was in long before head injury assessments came in, yet the two don't marry up time-wise.
Look, Matty, as far as I do not understand the 15-minute HIA. If you walk in there and the independent doctor assesses you and says, okay, look, you're fine to go, just go straight back in, out there. It's unnecessary. I can't get my head around it. I don't know why. They might say, the doctor needs to take time. But surely if they get them in there and says, you're absolutely fine, we've heard on the other side of caution, look, get back out there. Mate, if it's 3 minutes, just get back out there. If it takes 20, it takes 20 minutes. But I cannot get my head around why they need to sit on the sideline for an additional 10 minutes. And as far as the sin bins, Matty, I agree. I think I've said for a couple of years they should bring back an option for the 5-minute sin bin. Mm. 10 minutes, boy, it takes a piece out of a side.
It does. And this is the interesting thing about the HIA, 15 minutes. I mean, unless they're going to pull back the HIA, Matty, to 10, then nothing's ever going to marry up. Now, you can't have a sin bin that's specific for an incident that causes an HIA, because the two just never really marry up, do they? So is the game sort of out of step with itself here? And what do they need to look at? Obviously, you think the HIA timing could be looked at, or do we look at a 15 or a 5 or a 10 plus a 5? How do you work it out?
Oh, I think first and foremost, they're just going to work out with the HIA. And look, I can understand here that there's a few cracks in the system simply because we're reacting to what we learn. Matty, and that's like I think it's better to react and maybe get it slightly wrong than to sit on their hands and say, oh, we'll just wait to the end of the season. But I think now it's clear that we've got a little bit of problem with the 15 minutes. As I said before, if the doctor in there gives the player the all clear, he should be able to just go straight back into the contest. He shouldn't have to just sit on his hands for 15 minutes, because we all agree to err on the side of caution. That's a given. But the player, if we're going to err on the side of caution on the slight chance he might be concussed, and he shouldn't have to sit in the sideline for 15 minutes.
0457 736 736, if you'd like to have your say about that on the text line, or 1300 01 1170. On the roundup this morning, some of the issues in front of us. Broncos v Dolphins, already a great rivalry, but they haven't even played, so we'll have a look at how that's going to play out. Roosters v South, the fallout of the feud. We've got a new segment for you, Matty, Without Notice, What They Said and What They Mean. So we're going to play Matty some audio from the major players on the weekend. You'll hear what they said, coaches, major players, etc., but what did they really mean? So we'll try and unravel that. Who was the biggest loser and the biggest winner from round 3? I've narrowed it down to 2 losers and two winners. The big hits in the opening rounds, what do they mean in terms of the context of the game itself and the crackdown that started back in Magic Round 2021? Are we seeing a change in tackling techniques? We'll also touch on our Coach of the Year points and Matty's rapid fire round four tips. So let's start with the rivalry, mate. Broncos v Dolphins, yet to play a game, but this crosstown rivalry is a mouth-watering prospect. This is the reason why they didn't want him in round one. They knew that in round one the Dolphins were going to generate their own noise anyway, and it's played out perfectly, both 0-3, 3-0.
Look, the punt they've taken, Matty, has worked perfectly, because the danger in this is the Dolphins could have been 0-3. And it would have been a lot of hype around it, but it's nothing compared to what we've got coming up on Friday night. Matty, I'm sitting there, and look, people in Brisbane will be saying, "Oh, mate, listen to this imbecile from Newcastle. How would he know?" But I'd like to know from people in Brisbane. I mean, is this one of the biggest games in Brisbane rugby league history? I mean, there's been some massive ones. Of course, State of Origin, the first ever State of Origin, some of the great origins over the years and whatnot. But I tell you what, the hype around this, the storyline going into it, and the fact that amongst it all, the Broncos' biggest icon, the demigod of Brisbane, Wayne Bennett, is coaching the side just down the road. And you just know this week, Matty, is that he will just put the screws on the Broncos. Even for us, we won't quite understand what he is doing sometimes with little comments he'll make, but it'll be aimed at Kevy. And it'll be aimed at the Broncos organisation, and you can guarantee it'll get under their skin. If I was Kevy Walters, I would be staying away from reading any media whatsoever or anything that Wayne's got to say. I would remind myself at the start of the week that this, at the end of the day, is only a game. Don't take anything personal, because this is what Wayne's bringing at. I've seen him do it with great coaches over the years, from Brian Smith to Craig Bellamy. We saw him do it to Anthony Seibold when he moved to Brisbane. He just got the knack of getting underneath the opposition coach's skin and affecting their focus.
Yeah, it's an interesting point on both fronts, I reckon. For our Brisbane listeners especially, those that were around back in 1988 when the Broncos came in, do you think this is bigger than when the Bronx played their first game at the old Lang Park against Manly back then? Do you think this is a bigger entree, if you like, Broncos v Dolphins and now the crosstown rivalry? I reckon Kevy's smart enough to sit this one out. Like you say, Wiley Wayne's going to do his Wiley Wayne tricks, but you reckon Kevy's been around and knows that he's smart enough to, okay, take your advice here and sit it out. But Wayne will want to draw the players and the playbook into the equation as well. So how do the Dolphins players, who may not be as switched on in the playbook of what Wayne's going to offer up this week, how do they avoid getting caught in the trap?
Well, I don't think he will hide the Dolphins players away at all. I actually think that Wayne will collect every article that says that Broncos are going to win this football game, how good are the Broncos going. Wayne will even fabricate things and pass them on to some of his favourite people in the media, and there'll be all sorts of stuff that will be around building his side as the underdog. Suddenly we're looking at this game now and we're saying, oh, you know, the Broncos are travelling so well, it's going to take a big thing from the Dolphins. The way that Wayne works, by the time that Friday hits, he will have convinced his side that every single person in Australia gives them no chance whatsoever. He will just build that underdog mentality. And for the Dolphins players, I think the Dolphins players will immerse themselves in the excitement on it. Matty, going into big games like this, it is a luxury being the underdog. I think the pressure in this game is on the Brisbane Broncos trying to hold their fortress while, you know, you've got the new club, the Invaders, coming in and trying to take over.
On a broader sense, we've got a new crosstown rivalry, and we've already seen across the weekend, obviously, the latest chapter in the book of feuds, Roosters v South. So when you look at Broncos v Dolphins, crosstown rivals, Roosters v South, crosstown rivals, the feuds, all of that stuff, is this, you think, what the future of expansion could be based on? I mean, it's all very good to go up towards Papua New Guinea and the Pacifica, but the league knows that crosstown rivalries work.
Yes, it does, Matty, but, I mean, do you see... I don't see another team in North Queensland. I see a Pacifica side based in a place like Cairns, but playing their home games in Papua New Guinea. But I don't know where other market, what other market you would build a crosstown rivalry. At the moment, the two we've got which have developed are just crackers. I mean, there's a number. I mean, you got coming up this week. You got Parramatta versus Penrith, and you know when those big Western Sydney clubs emerge, then you get great rivalries there. The Broncos, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs is still number one. Every time they play, you just know something's going to happen. But Matty, what is really interesting about the Dolphins versus Broncos is that, to use an example, when Gordy Tallis tells me that when the Cowboys beat the Broncos to win the competition in 2015, the Broncos fans went away. While so disappointed, they were happy for the Cowboys. That makes sense. The Queensland clubs and the Queensland people row in the same direction, whereas the Sydney clubs just eat each other up all the time. We are just down here a mass of warring tribes that are just always fighting against one another. Whereas up there, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of the Dolphins and the Broncos. Like, it was a bloke in our audience last night, and I said, mate, who you support? His wife was in the Knights jersey, and I was saying, it's great, we've still got one around. And I said to him, who do you support? And he said, Dolphins and the Broncos. And I went, well, mate, you can't do both. And he said, yeah, I'm Dolphins and Broncos. I wonder how many are out there like that. That are supporting both clubs.
Well,
I would love this rivalry to become as big as Souths and the Roosters.
Well, you know what? I mean, there might be right now, but like I said, they haven't played each other yet. They will this weekend. So we're talking about a rivalry that hasn't started. Perhaps party lines are drawn once we get a result in round four. The news segment's still coming up, what they said, what they mean. Our biggest loser and biggest winners of round three. The Seagulls, they score 34 points against Parramatta. Talk about an old rivalry, especially more on historic reasons, but they almost lost the game. However, they remain unbeaten, plus our coach of the year points in the rapid fire round four tips. Be part of the show. 0457 736 736 on the text line, or 1300 01 1170 on the open line. This is the roundup. Your Monday morning footy fix right here across the SEN network. Matty Johns joining us this morning. Matty, so the ladder after round three. I mean, seriously, take your pick on how close you would have got to this. We've got the Broncos on top with 3-0. The Dolphins there as well. So both of those on 6 points. The Seagulls on 6 points with 2 wins and the bye. Then it's the Warriors, Panthers, Titans, Roosters and Bulldogs. That's your top eight after round three. Dragons, Rabbitohs, Raiders are in 11th. Sharks are in 12th. Storm in 13th. The Knights down there in 14th. Then we've got the Cowboys in 15th, 2-1 to start the season, and the Eels and the West Tigers without a win next to their name. So when you look at all that, when we take a look at the results out of round three in particular, I want to know who was the biggest loser. If you narrow it down to the bottom two, the Parramatta Eels or the West Tigers, both now 0-3 to start the season.
Oh, well, I tell you what, if you'd have told me 20 minutes before full time this question, it was a no-brainer. It was the Tigers, because Matty, that was just incredible yesterday. Mm. That last 15 minutes, if the Tigers had pulled that off and won the game, I don't think even Tigers fans would have any problem with me saying it was one of the worst performances for a victory that I've seen. Mm. They were just so out of sync. I think it's the Tigers for what was at stake for them, the criticism they'd have through the week. I thought, look, it ended up being a tight game, but I just, it's really, I expected a better performance, let me put it that way, from the Tigers. I thought all the criticism through the week, I thought they'd get it right. I actually thought they might have won the football game. But the result, their performance just doesn't match up with what the scoreline was. You know, for most of that game, they were completely out of sync.
It's an interesting word, isn't it? Out of sync. I reckon that summarises it well. So then what do you think about the Eels? I mean, they kept in that fight against Manly, who I said scored 34 points, 64 points scored in the opening match of the round this weekend. yet the Eels still have nothing to show for their first three matches, and essentially they could have been taking two away from every match they've played.
Matty, I don't know what Brad Arthur, I think he'll watch the game and say, I don't know what that performance was, because when you listen to 34-30 at Four Pines Park, you go, well, they've put up a really good fight. That's a pretty good performance. And on the surface, it is. But I thought Manly were really off their game. I thought that the difference between Manly that I saw in round one and even their pre-season compared to what they served up defensively on Thursday night was poles apart. Manly, they had the good win first up. They sat on their hands for 2 weeks and they just didn't come out with the same defensive intensity. That's a real warning shot. And like we said last week, it's been a real oversight on the draw that you've got Parramatta, you know, playing three of the top sides coming off a bye. I know it's no excuse, but my God, that's tough.
So who gets their first win first? The Eels have the Panthers Thursday night, the grand final rematch. The Tigers have the Storm Friday night in Melbourne. Who gets their first win of the season first? Is it Parramatta or the West Tigers?
Well, we might have to wait another. We might be saying the same thing this time next week, Matty. I think that'd be the favourite. But I tell you what, you know, like, the Tigers going down to Melbourne, like on the surface of things, they're absolutely no chance. But I reckon they'll be without Jerome Hughes, the Melbourne Storm, and they're in a real funk themselves. And so I think the Tigers go down there and should be the mindset they can win the football game. I think that, you know, absurdly, maybe, I probably think that they're a slightly better chance, at the very least, as good a chance as Parramatta have got knocking off Penrith.
Mm. We've got a poll on our Twitter page right now. So who gets their first win of the season, the Eels or the Tigers? Go to @MattyWhite, S-E-N. So who was the biggest winner then from round three? Matty, the Warriors beat the Cowboys, their first win in Australia in 13 games. You've got to go back to round eight last year against Canberra, and that was a one-pointer. And the Titans beat the Storm. When you look at the Titans v Storm over the years, they lost their previous eight times. They've only won, going into this one, they only won 6 out of 25 times against Melbourne. I mean, history against them, and they come away with that win.
Matty, and I actually think, I'm trying to get the score line. I think a number of years ago on Magic Round, I think they beat the Storm. It might have been 38-34 or a score line similar to that. Mm. Like, if you get into an attacking, if you go in against the Titans and you want to make it just purely a game of touch football, then they're in with a chance because they can attack. And Melbourne, look, well done to the Titans. They're a much improved side. Kieran Foran signing. It's just an example of how important senior leaders are in a football side that have got experience and they've got know-how, because he's helping Tino out with the leadership. He's teaching David Fifita the science of the game. And he's helping the coach, Justin Holbrook. And I love the fact on the weekend, which I thought was the right call at the time from Justin Holbrook, I'm going to give Kieran just 10 minutes here to freshen him up for the back end. And Kieran was absolutely livid.
Yeah.
That just shows you he's still got a fair bit of fire in the belly. So that, well done to the Titans. That was a fantastic. And the Warriors, Matty, that was just sensational. Well done to Andrew Webster. I said this on the show last night. They are rediscovering some of that old Warriors DNA. You know, tough, aggressive defence and just power running. That is the basis. They just kept marching through the middle of the Cowboys. The Cowboys have got some real problems as far as attitude is concerned. I would say 75% of their energy is exerted on attack. They've got little focus on defence at the moment.
I called the Warriors' first game against the Knights, and I remember at the end of it, Noddy Camorley, who was calling with us, he said, the Penrith Warriors. I mean, you know, it was a little bit of a flippant remark, but obviously the Andrew Webster effect coming in there. And the key fact about the Warriors this time around is, I mean, they've got so many different faces in there. We know that. But there's a different feel altogether. They're nothing like the team of 2022.
You know who they remind me of? They actually remind me in the style they're playing, like the Dolphins a little bit. The Dolphins and the Warriors, when I watch them play, I think they're building a game plan. And their mindset is, we're going to put ourselves in a position to at least win the game in the last 10 minutes. They just build their game steadily and slowly. There's no unnecessary flare or sideways ball movement. They just build their game through the middle, and a lot of time, you know, and pour energy into their defence. And, you know, and anything they get off that is a bonus, and just being there with a chance to win the game, we tend to go. And I've seen other sides, like other sides watching the Cowboys. The Cowboys, if they were a boxer, they punched themselves out of the contest. They just threw everything into their attack, came up with errors, and the Warriors just rolled over the top of them.
We're going to do our snap judgments of match by match in round three, and what Matty thinks that means for each of these teams heading into round four and the rest of the season. We'll do an Eds update with Jared Timms a little bit later. Our coach of the year points from round three as well. Our overall leaderboard, only had two rounds, but our overall leaderboard is Wayne Bennett. You've got him sitting on top, and Cameron Serraldo a point behind him. So we've got plenty to come your way, plus what they said and what they mean. The audio from the weekend's main players and what they really mean when they said what they said after the weekend. 0457 736 736 is the text, or hit us up on the call line, 1300 01 1170. Back after the news. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's do a Neds update with Jared Timms. Whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. You win some, you lose more. Good morning to you, Timsy. NRL Premiership odds after round three. The ladder's all over the place at the moment, so what are the odds doing?
Yeah, morning, Matt. Certainly right on that front. Look, the Panthers still rock solid on the top line of betting, though. They obviously had the bye in round three. They're going to return fresh and $4.50 premiership favourites this week. The Roosters have leapfrogged the Bunnies onto the second line of betting. In fact, their quotes have literally just swapped since the beginning of the round. $6 about the Roosters now, $7.50 about the Bunnies. The biggest negative mood towards the top lines of betting, at least with us anyway this week, has been the Melbourne Storm. $7 last week. They're out to $9 now. We are expecting that to trim up a little bit this week, though. They take on the West Tigers. The move for the Broncos has continued as well, Matt. Of course, they were high 20s at the beginning of the season. $13 after two rounds. They're now tied with the Storm in premiership betting, $9. Manly, 17s into 12s. The Dolphins are still rock solid as they were last week, $26. And the Knights and the Tigers, they're tied for the spoon, $81 each in premiership betting.
All right. Some big games this weekend. Eels and Panthers, and we've focused a lot on the Broncos and Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, getting towards panic stations for the Eels fans, at least, surely they're 0-3. That's going to be the longest price that they've started all season, this $3.20 quote currently up here at Neds. The Panthers, they're popular in our market already, $1.33. And the line for this one is 8.5 points. Now, moving on to this Broncos-Dolphins game, cannot wait for this one. Undefeated season's going on the line, of course. The first Brisbane derby in decades. Probably no real surprises in our head-to-head market. The Dolphins, without the likes of Felice Kaufusi, they're now out to $3.15. The Broncos into $1.35 this morning. The line for this one, I think it looks good, 10.5 points.
Good on you, Jared. Thanks, mate. We'll speak again next week. Jared Timms there from Neds. Download the Neds app today. Take your betting to the Neds level. Don't forget, you win some, you lose more. We'll do our snap judgments very soon, but let's go to the open line, 1300 01 1170. Steve from Wiracknabeal is on the line. Matty always loves calling in on the show here, and got some thoughts around HIA and Sinbin. Go for it, Steve.
Hey, boys, how we going?
Good.
Okay, two quick observations about the HIA. If the person gets put on report and the player has to go to the assessment, I honestly believe and agree that the person that gets put in the bin should get 15 minutes, same as the HIA assessment. If it only needs to be five, both can go for five. But whatever it is, it has to be equal odds, I think.
Yeah,
and
I
the
think
second
so,
one, yeah, and the second one, coming out of the Roosters game the other night, Radley got opened up by some friendly fire from Warira Hargrave. Now, there was blood, and Radley automatically gets sent to the bin. They didn't even look at Warira Hargrave. Well, I know he's got a hard head, but if you've got two melons knocking into each other and one of them opens up, surely you'd look at the other bloke as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I need to go back and have a close look at that one. But just back to your thought about the player on report and the HIA and trying to marry that up. I guess, Matty, the problem is that the player doesn't always get put on report at the same time as the HIA is activated. I mean, sometimes you can cop the whack, the player gets busted, and then 5 minutes later or a couple of minutes later in play, the independent doctor makes the call. That's the hard part.
It is. In principle, Matt, Stu's right. You know, that's he's nailed it there. I come back to my original point. A player should not, I don't know why, and maybe they'll explain it and I will get it and agree with it, but at the moment I don't know why it has to be uniform 15 minutes.
Yeah, we'll ask that question. Good on you, Steve. Thanks, mate. Have a good day. Jim from Campbelltown. On the same vein, Jim, your question around HIA.
Well, it's the same thing, guys. I mean, if the player gets sin-binned for putting a player into the HIA, surely he's got to go for 15 minutes too, because that player is literally disqualified from the game. You can't use him as an interchange. The other team is technically, they're down a player. And the best example is Felice Kaufusi the other night. He gets sent in for 11 minutes. It was 11th minute mark. He comes back with a minute to go, and Jackson Hastings, I think he got cleared, he still can't come back. That's not fair. Yeah. That if you HIA someone with a headshot, you're getting 15 minutes. Any other one, foul, 10 minutes, no drama. But if you put someone in the HIA, you're going for 15 minutes as well.
Well, I tell you, and to add to that, if you think there are certain players in the competition where that are irreplaceable, that, like on grand final day, like can you imagine with 14 minutes to go, you know, a player comes out and deliberately whacks Nathan Cleary high. Mm. And, you know, would they be happy to be down to 12 men if the opposition's without Nathan Cleary? So these are things we've got to sort out before we get towards those big games at the end of the year.
Yeah, good on you, Jim. Appreciate your call. I mean, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because when did Sinbin come in, Matty?
It came in, I think, around 1981 or 82. Yeah, early. I remember Dad was coaching the Cessnock Goannas up there, and originally it was, I think originally it was just 5 minutes in the Sinbin,
yes.
And then they brought in the option for 10 minutes, and then eventually they just discarded the five and said, let's just go standard 10.
Well, that was part of the drama back then, wasn't it? You didn't know whether your player was going to get 5 or 10, and it sounded like heaps. Yeah, 81. So you think 1981, here we are in 2023, yeah. And the HIA has come in with a different time period. I mean, it's very, very hard for the game to try and marry these up, but I think it's universally agreed that it's unfair. There's an unfair timing anomaly here that I don't know how they're going to fix it.
Yeah, got to sort it. Well, Matty, as we said before, this has been a byproduct of the league necessary, like reacting, which they should have, to all the latest data that we get from HIA and stand downs and whatnot, to make it up along the way. And I can understand why they've had to do it. They've just got to, I think this week, start to clarify and work out the way going forward.
By the way, the great Newtown Jets hooker Barry Jensen was the first ever player sent to the sin bin back then. We'll do our snap judgments after this. We're back after the break on the roundup. It is Let's Go Through Match by Match from round three and get our snap judgments, Matty. Thanks to Snap Fitness on a mission to help you feel fantastic. My Monday morning check-in on you. How are you feeling? I mean, the drought continues, doesn't it?
Mate, I'm clear-headed, but yes. Unfortunately, like, yes, I'm enjoying the sobriety while I was, but now feeling normal and fresh is the new normal for me. So I don't know. It's getting tough, Matty.
Yeah.
It's getting tough, and I'm walking past my two locals down there. I've got two locals. It's like when someone says to you, here, take a multivitamin, it's good for you. So why have one? Have 10. Well, why have one local that's good? I've got two locals. And to walk past there and just get the scent coming out of there. I just go, oh, no, God. Yeah. It's Pavlov's dogs.
Well, not only that, you've got to walk past the mirror and see yourself in clear eyes as well. Let's go through our snap judgments. Seagulls will go all the way back to Four Pines on Thursday night. We've spoken about the performance of the Eels and touched on the Seagulls. Your snap judgment then on Manly for the rest of the season, these early days for Manly. They've got a big one coming up with the Bunnies.
Yes, they need to equal, to get back to their defensive mindset as they did in round one we saw against the Dogs. It dropped away considerably in round three. So they need that defensive intensity back up there if they want to be anything like a top four side.
Snap judgment on the Knights. They went down to the Dolphins by 16 points.
They fought hard, Matt. It wasn't, I thought Lachie Miller, the fullback, was probably the best player on the field. But the Knights, unfortunately, when things go bad, they drop their bundle. They were right in the contest. They conceded a try to make, I think it was 26-20. And from there, the Dolphins just ran in another two tries down to 12 men. That's their inability to handle adversity again.
Take away the book of feuds and the rivalry and everything else that goes around what happened at Allianz on Friday night, and you snap judgment then on the Roosters' win over the Rabbitohs.
Well, the Roosters were their same old selves that they'd been the first couple of rounds. In the first 30 minutes, they just skimmed across the defence, had no penetration, and then JWH and Brandon Smith come on and addressed all that. They just gave... they gave so much punch through the middle of the field and straightened the Roosters right up.
We'll do our Coach of the Year points in just a sec, but you got to—I mean, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Because Trent Robinson has achieved so much that he kind of falls into that category anyway, and probably gets lost a little bit sometimes. But the coaching masterstroke to do what he did with JWH and Brandon Smith, I reckon's got to feature in that conversation. The Storm, Matty, your snap judgment on the Melbourne Storm right here, right now.
Right, okay. Craig Bellamy, what he alluded to at full time was, I'm trying to think what he said, I think it was lack of, there was a lack of care, it was a care factor or...
You want to have a listen? Let's have a listen, yeah, we've got okay. him. Here we go.
They hung on better than us, and with all due respect, our problem at the moment is the care factor seems very, very low. You would think it would have been better, yes. You've seen, you might be able to tell me, because I'm not quite sure how to fix it, but as I said, to me... I think, you know, we sort of worked a little bit harder defensively today. So I thought, you know, that was an improvement. But well, they scored 18 points in 6 minutes, just before half-time, then two after half-time. And both on Colin Ferris. I said, the care factor seems not too important at the moment.
Ooh, that's very un-Melbourne-like.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because if you listen to the coverage, one of the commentators, I don't know if it was, it might have been what, but they actually said that there were comments pre-game by Craig Bellamy that said that he was concerned about the game because after he gave them a blast after the loss the week before from the Bulldogs, he saw a reaction earlier in the week. However, at the back end of the week, he wasn't so sure where their heads were. Now, that's interesting. And we hear this all the time. That's very un-Melbourne-like. But people do say that and concede 18 points in 6 minutes or something like that. That's a concern for Bellamy, and as I said before, on top of that, I think they won't have Jerome Hughes this week. So before a ball was kicked in this competition, when you looked at the layer of depth and class that's been taken away from the Melbourne Storm, everything pointed to this being the toughest season that Craig Bellamy has had in charge of the Storm, and that's how it's transpiring.
Yeah, and you wonder if that impact that he's always had, normally a Craig Bellamy spray equals a better result and better effort. But with this, Craig Bellamy spray is going to equal care factor zero. That's an alarming outcome. Warriors 26 beat the Cowboys 12 in Townsville. Your snap judgment on the Cowboys. This is interesting. They finished third in the season in the regular season last year, and here they are floundering a bit at the start of this one.
Matty, all the most important areas to win a football game, they are considerably worse than they were last year. Right, they've got all the attacking brilliance. In fact, they trust their attacking brilliance too much. I see this sometimes with South Sydney. They'll go into games and they've got a swagger about them that says, look, if you score 22 points, we'll score 26. Right? That's, in my opinion, how the Cowboys are playing. Frivolous passes, no thought for ball retention. And they just believe they can win the game on the back of attacking class, and they've been caught out again. You know, Matty, they could easily be 0-3 because they nearly threw the game away against the Raiders. And the toughest thing about it, well, the area that would worry Todd Payton the most is that they start well. They start well, and then as the game goes on and the game starts to get into the arm wrestle, the other side gets ascendancy.
It's one of the ones that I'm still struggling. I mean, still struggling. It's only Monday, but struggling with for my tips this week. Cowboys v Titans, and it's in Townsville. And every other day, you'd be leaning towards the Cowboys, but that great unknown at the moment. We'll get to those a bit later. You snapped judgment on the Broncos Dragons match, in particular the Dragons here. I mean, the Broncos just went bang, 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 but the Dragons were in this fight.
Yeah, well, Matty, I spoke before about the Newcastle Knights. They're in the fight until they hit a little bit of adversity. And what, like, I watched it again yesterday, and just to remind myself, there was about 8 minutes to go, and it's 8-0. And you go, how does this happen? But there was just that the Broncos had just built pressure and pressure and pressure. The game's in the balance, and the Dragons blinked, and suddenly Broncos score, and then rather fighting their way back into the contest, they basically, you know, to concede that many points, they threw their hands in the air and just, you know, forgive me for saying this, from Dragons fans, it was like they gave up. This, any defensive intensity they had just dissipated. It was gone. Broncos, Matty, were terrific. I was really impressed by their patience. And they're going to need a lot of it this week against the Dolphins, because the Dolphins will just grind and grind and grind.
There were particular reasons why Kevvy Walters wanted Adam Reynolds and Reece Walsh at the Bronx this season, and both of them were on show, I reckon, at Suncorp on Saturday. So then our final two judgments on the Bulldogs and West Tigers and the Raiders and the Sharks, both from yesterday.
Well, the Sharkies just aren't there. So we said this last week, they're not themselves. They had, they're one out of three. Now, they beat Parramatta in a game of touch football. Now, the hallmark of the coaching from Craig Fitzgibbon has been defence. And, you know, the attacking stuff is the bonus on top. They've been really, really good at the tough areas of the game. And they're struggling in that area, and I don't know why. I thought this week they'd have a hit back as far as defence was concerned, but, yeah, they're a little bit flimsy. Raiders, important win. Well done to them. They had to win. You can see them in the sheds before the game. Ricky had them up for the contest. And well done to Cameron Soraldo. Really crucial in that game. There was little tactical adjustment that got Matty Burton running the football more. Early in the game, he had Matty Burton standing outside of Kickout. Kickout was taking the ball, passing it to Burton for Burton to run, and it just got Matty Burton feeling himself run the football, getting half through, and that stimulated his game. And my first point about the Tigers were just totally out of sync. If you watch the game back again, there's a beautiful head-on shot where Dewey goes up and he's wanting his ball runner to hit a gap. And the ball runner hits the gap on the outside and they pick an intercept off. That is just miscommunication and a lack of understanding.
Out of sync. Our judgments thanks to Snap Fitness with you every step of the way. snapfitness.com.au. It's 6:30 to 10 for our Sydney listeners, 6:30 to 9 for those in Queensland. Yeah, thanks for your company on SEN 1170 AM Sydney, SENQ 693 in Brisbane, SEN 1620 on the Gold Coast, and right across our network on the app. Text us anytime this morning, 0457 736 736. Maddie's here to answer all of your questions on 1300 01 1170 as well. Our best caller today is in for the Signet Boost Power Bank. So, Maddie, we're going to do what they said, what they mean in just a sec, but the Glencore Coach of the Year points have become a source of fascination for our listeners. So we've had two rounds done. You give out a 3-2-1, just like we do with, you know, player votes per match. And at the moment, after two rounds, a certain gentleman by the name of Bennett, W.Wayne, leads from Soraldo, Cameron, on three. Kevvy Walters and Jason Demetrio tied in third on two. And Anthony Seibold has the 1 point. So your points from round three in terms of coaching performances.
3 points, Andrew Webster at the Warriors. I'm making it sound like the Dally M's. Yes. 3 points, Andrew Webster, Warriors.
Yes.
2 points, Kevin Walters, Brisbane Broncos.
A little bit more dramatic effect, if you don't mind a pause as well.
Sorry.
Kevin Walters, 2 points. Yes.
2 points, Kevin Walters, Brisbane Broncos. 1 point, Trent Robinson, Sydney Roosters.
Nice. There you go. Robbo's on the board with 1 point. So that puts Kevvy Walters tied at the moment. I mean, I've got to do these on the run. So heaven help us when we get around bloody 27. But you've got now Kevvy Walters tied for the lead for the Glencore Advancing Everyday Life Coach of the Year points. Learn more, search Glencore. Now, Maddie, what they said, what they mean. We're going to play you some audio from the weekend. This is what they said. And I want you to try and work out what they're really meaning here, because coaches in particular will say all sorts of things at press conferences, won't they? They'll say things to either draw the attention away from somewhere. They'll say things to completely try and just baffle the media. Or if you're Wayne, you'll just say things because you're Wayne. So let's have a listen to some of our coaches and see what they really thought after their matches. Tim Sheens, let's start with him. So they go down to the Bulldogs, and this is Tim Sheens speaking after the match.
Probably a couple of instances that I'm going to have a whinge about later that may have changed the game too at the back end of the game, but anyway.
What are the incidents?
I'll bring it up with the referees.
Yeah. Oh, can you just talk us through the decision for David Nofaluma to come off and Tali Steen's the wing and Dewey to fullback?
No, I don't want to make any call on it at the moment, no.
But was it always pre-planned that was going to be the situation where Adam goes back to fullback and Brennan?
I don't want to talk about it, thank you. No, I'm not going to justify what I did.
So Tim Sheens, that's what he said on a range of issues. Well, that's what he didn't say. So what did he mean out of all that?
I think he meant, look, we were robbed. I just don't want to talk about it and sound like a bad loser. And all those changes at the end, I'm not going to talk about it because I was just making it up as I go along. And the reason we lost has got nothing to do with me. It's Benji and Robbie's fault.
Okay. Oh, this is a much better press conference. So the Monday morning press conference is much, much better than the ones we get on the weekend. Now, the Book of Feuds. So we get that massive build-up. I spoke to Mark Courtney, who wrote the Book of Feuds itself. It goes back all the way to 1908. I mean, the fact that the Roosters and the Rabbitohs is just referred to as a rivalry is exactly what the league want. But Trent Robinson didn't want to buy into a few things after the match. Let's have a listen to Robbo.
No, let's stay in the game. You know, we've had enough of all the, you know, you guys will want to open that up and make a big thing of that. You know, it's been so negative this week from you guys, you know, from our side. It's been so positive from the other side. Everyone thought they were going to win tonight. It's been so negative from guys having to go at Rads and Jazz and, you know, having to go at Sawali and Teddy and all that. It's been negative all week. And then we come out and play a game. So let's focus on the footy. You know, don't blow something small up to be from both sides. You know, there was a push and a shove and something that shouldn't happen and someone reacted poorly. So what? You know, stay on task, you know. Talk about the game.
Yeah, a lot of negatives, a lot of positives. Stay on task, talk about the game. What did Robbo really mean?
He said, look, I've just come back from a trek in the Himalayas, met the Dalai Lama, and he informed me that violence is not the answer. So, guys, let's talk about the good of things in the game. And tomorrow you're going to see a game between the Tigers and the Dogs, and whatever happens, it's Benji and Robbie's fault.
Okay, Wayne Bennett. Now, we know that wily old Wayne is going to start the party tricks before his party's even finished there on the weekend. Now he's thinking about taking on the Broncos. So let's have a listen to what Wayne Bennett said after this. And he's talking about here the lack of pressure heading into this local derby against the Bronx.
There's
going to be
a bit of pressure this week.
There's no pressure this week. These are his game rule. We'll look at coach next week. There's no pressure there. These are the hard games. These are the pressure games.
Why do you say? Is it
because everybody's going to want to play in them, mate. So if you're a football player, you want to be there. So what's hard about that in the best stadium in Australia? I don't think anyone's going to need motivating to be there.
Easiest game in the world.
Yeah. What he's saying there is, guys, has anyone proposed to build a statue of me right alongside the King while he went at the front of Suncorp Stadium? Because if no one has, guys, it's got to happen. I am a god. I am the god of Brisbane. All hail the Wayne train.
And if it doesn't happen, it's Benji and Robbie's fault, clearly, off
absolutely
the back of all that. Should we have a listen to Justin Holbrook? I mean, the funny thing about this one is that Justin Holbrook, we spoke about, and you mentioned that Kieran Foran was filthy being given time on the side, and the way that it all panned out, it actually makes really good sense. So what he said here is actually kind of what he means. So let's have a listen to Justin Holbrook.
Yeah, it was just the case. Well, Tenner had to go off for 15 minutes, and then in those conditions, honestly, it was 30-something and you go in the middle of our stadium and it's probably nearly 40. So I didn't want to get JC straight back off then. So on a day like today, I was going to need his experience at the back end of the game. And so that was an opportunity to leave Jaden Campbell on the field and just give Foz a blow, and then got him back on to sort of control the back end of the game. So it's just it's always hard when you've got Jaden Campbell on the bench. Where does he play and how long? And just had an opportunity today. And in those conditions, I thought it just really suited him. So it was more to keep JC on the field.
See, the hard thing is it kind of makes sense. Or does it?
Yeah, well, I tell you what he was saying there. What he was saying is, look, for whatever reason, Kieran wasn't himself. He dropped a couple of balls. So I decided to hook him. But given the fact he blew up, and given the fact that if a coach is going to be sacked, it's probably from one of the senior players, I'm going to make up something completely different here and say that it was all about Jaden Campbell and preserving Kieran for the last 15 minutes. Thank you. I'm losing my hair. I'm out of the press conference.
The mic has been dropped. Now, Billy Slater on Channel 9 yesterday talking about whether the Dolphins should or shouldn't challenge Felice Kaufusi's suspension for his hit on Jackson Hastings. There's talk around, we'll find out today, but there's talk around that the Dolphins may well try and get a downgrade out of this one. So let's have a listen to Billy's take on this.
Well, I can actually find grounds for Felice to fight that. I think he pulled out of it late. And I think when the ball left Jackson's hands, he was committed. I agree that was fractionally late, and I'm not for that play. If you look at the slow motion, when Felice commits to the tackle, he's committed when the ball's in his hands. And then he tries to pull out at the last minute. If you go the back shot on that, that's happening really fast. He's committed to making that tackle before the ball's left the hands. And
committed.
You can actually see him pull out. But if he doesn't pull out, he ends up like Hudson Young on the ground.
What do they mean?
Mm-hmm. Look, what Billy's saying there is Felice is completely and utterly gone. However, I got a call from Felice through the week, and given the fact he's an old teammate of mine and a Queenslander, I'm just going to try to defend the indefendable. And the bloke alongside me, I know I've just about convinced his name is Andrew Johns, but unfortunately he's an imbecile and not everyone's as stupid as Andrew Johns.
Right. That wraps up the rugby league, what they said and what they mean. But I want to take you now to the English Premier League. So some results across the weekend included this one, Southampton 3, Tottenham Hotspur 3. Now, Mark, put some context around this before we play this, because this is a piece of audio from the Tottenham Hotspur manager, Antonio Conte, and he got all fired up.
Yeah, so they lost. So they drew 3-3 with Southampton, as you said, with the last-minute penalty, 93rd-minute penalty for Southampton. Antonio Conte is considered one of the best managers in the world by most, and Tottenham aren't a very good team. And I think most people, including Antonio Conte, would say it's not his fault.
All right, Matty, let's have a listen to this. Tell us what he really saying.
They don't want to play under pressure. They don't want to play under stress. Until now, I tried to hide the situation. But now, no. I don't want to see what I have seen today, because this is unacceptable. Also for the respect for the fans. They follow us, pay the tickets. I'm not used to this position. I'm really upset. And everybody has to take the responsibility, not only the club, not only the manager, the staff. The player has to be involved in this situation, because it's time to change the situation if Tottenham wants to change. If they want to continue in this way, can change manager, a lot of manager, but the situation cannot change.
What did he mean?
Matty, I'm going to talk softly here because the Minister for War and Finance is just upstairs.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
But I'm married to an Italian, right? Oof. And it's a very Italian trait to never be wrong.
Did you say that too loud? Or are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yes, when the argument... Oh, she's coming through the front door now. No, Italians are wonderful people. It's really... Getting a death stare.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what they said.
It's terrifying.
And that's what they really meant. 0457 736 736. Buy into that if you want. I think we've struck ourselves a pretty good segment in that one. And our thanks to... the key now is for our coaches in particular to dive on the press conferences after their matches in round 4 and try and stump you. So try and say something that you can't unravel and blame on Benji or Robbie. That's going to be the key going forward. Come and join the show, 1300 01 1170. Back after this on the Roundup. Matty, I'd be interested in your starting Tigers team. Something has to change, says the Space Ghost. Halves don't work well together. I don't see Dewey as a half. Too much of a hog, either fullback or centre for mine, says Space Ghost.
Yeah, watching Dewey in yesterday reminded me about Matt Burton in round one, in the fact that he's a player who, his strength is running the football, who yesterday was just caught in this trap of trying to finesse the ball around. It just wasn't working, just tied himself in knots. I actually thought they looked a lot better when Wakeham came onto the field and Dewey went to fullback. I think they've stumbled on a bit of a formula there.
Thanks for that. 0457 736 736. Troy says, Matty, I can't help but feel Craig Bellamy's a victim of the change in generations. Gone is the era of players who reacted to under-delivering via a blast to a generation of players who blame the performance of someone or something else rather than own it themselves. I mean, I don't know your take on this one, Matty, but if one thing that Craig Bellamy has been very good at over the years is dealing with younger generational players as he's got older in the game, he's been an expert at it.
Yes, and a lot of that... It's very interesting you say that, because I was curious how initially when Cameron Smith retired, Matty, how that, what effect that would have on the rest of the group and Craig in turn on the group. Because one thing about blokes like Cameron Smith and Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk, they're very old heads, particularly Cameron. And Cameron very often would be the cartilage between the players and Craig. And so I saw a slight dynamic when Cameron retired, but I still think there's enough there, like a Harry Grant. Like, you know, Harry Grant and Munster and Jerome can drive that culture. I don't think that's the primary problem. The primary problem is their roster is just too thin, and when you lose a Munster, it just has a big effect on the football side and its confidence.
There's a question here about Harry Grant. It says, your thoughts on his game style. The infiltrator who sent the text says he thinks he plays erratic, doesn't have any composure, plays like Melbourne are down by 20 when they're in front. What would you be telling him?
Oh, no. I thought Harry was the best, was by far the best player for Melbourne on the weekend. Look, a little erratic. I think maybe if we're looking at it like that, it's the fact that he's having to do so much. You know, I don't think it's erratic. It's just simply Harry taking so much on his shoulders, and to be honest, at the moment, he has to.
Exactly. This one from Hopper from Wagga. My pre-season predictions of Cowboys, Storm and Para missing the eight are on target at the moment. Still pretty confident, he says, about the Storm and Para, but are the Cows a genuine top eight chance after a below average start?
Look, one thing about the Cowboys is they... there's a title winning team, right? But they've got to dramatically change what their focus is and their attitude at the moment. They need to go back, we'll put it this way, they need to put the overalls back on again, right? And put the dinner suit away.
Get down to the hard work. Tony says, question for Matty. I'm a Doggies fan. It's the second game in a row where the Dogs take a huge lead and then give away soft tries, letting the opposition team back in. Why do they struggle to play the full 80? Is it inexperience? Was it the heat yesterday?
I think it's a bit of a combination of the heat, and I think combined with that, with the inexperience, is they got ahead 26-6. They took the foot off. Suddenly, you know, the Tigers, you know, snare a try against the run of play, and they come to life a little bit. And what that does straight away, we were talking about this last night with young Sammy Walker before the show, what that does to young players, suddenly you got the game in the bag, and it's 26-12, and behind the line you're saying, hey, boys, let's pull in a little bit, let's complete our sets. All the talk starts to become a little bit more anxious. Then the Tigers jag another try, and then you're really on the slip and slide. So that is something that happens very often with young football sides, and combined with that, with the heat yesterday through the middle of the field, that was a contributing factor. But yeah, it was a really good performance by the Dogs, in the fact that I was curious if they could still take that aggressive attacking mindset into a game that they were expected to win. And they did that. Yes, they took their foot off and lost their way a little bit in the last 15 minutes, but I was really encouraged by the signs in the first half of the match.
Gee, he was impressive last night, mate, on your show, Sammy Walker.
terrific kid.
Yeah.
And look, he comes from a football family. He's like, you know, we spoke about this off air, Matty, is that I think, like, if I'm a coach, I want my players being footy heads, right? I do not get this thing where you talk to some young players and you say, oh, mate, did you see this? Yeah, I don't watch the football. What? It's like, you know, talking to John Lennon who says, I don't listen to music. You know, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Sammy Walker is a footy head. You say, hey, Sammy, did you see we were interviewing Matt? Yeah, I saw that. Did you see this game a few Sundays ago? Yeah, I saw that. He watches all of it. He's a football head. There is nothing else in the world he would rather be than an NRL footballer. I love that.
Which leads to the question about, you know, you take Sam Walker, the player, but then you take the Walker brothers, right? Because that's how they're always referred to. And it's an interesting, I actually heard, well, you discussed a little bit last night, and I heard a discussion yesterday around this as well. Just say, I mean, there will be a coach who's removed this season. That history just tells us that. Do you think that the Walker brothers coaching department, which is currently in hiatus, do you think that that could be a short-term answer? It's a really interesting one. Say your club's just going nowhere this year. Do you throw them at it because they're willing to take a 12-month give us a crack? Or do you risk going backwards in that and saying to your fans, we're giving up on this season?
Well, let's imagine, let's do a fictional side, right, called the Swansea Pelicans. Mm. And the Swansea Pelicans are sitting at the bottom of the ladder and they've been there for a long time. And they see that they're really struggling, going, how the hell are we going to bridge this gap between the top sides? And there are some of the lower sides thinking that, going, what do we do? Well, there's two things you can do. You can basically play a mild version or a watered-down version of what the top sides are doing, or you take a totally different direction. Right, and this is why I would take a punt, because they've come out and said, we'll do it for 12 months on basically award wage to show what we can do. Well, give them a crack, because you're not going to beat the top sides playing a watered-down version of how they play. You've got to play completely different. You've got to rewrite the playbook, and they've shown they can do that.
Would they need a preseason, though? Like if you came in halfway through a year and you say,
You know, you give them 18 months, Matty, you give them 18 months. That's what you do. There'd be, you know exactly what had happened. There'd be a spike at the start, then they'd fall into a difficult period. And then you give them the whole preseason and go, right, let's bed this style down and let's see how we go.
Yeah, you've got to be prepared for when the honeymoon is over. The Rooster Man says, Matty and Matty, I totally believe in a Pacifica team. My stepson's Fijian and plays for West Tigers under 16. He would love to play for them. And I mean, that's the key to all of this, isn't it? There are so many players, families, cultural connections that will be drawn to a Pacifica team.
And Matty, it just makes every bit of sense to me. And you just said it there, Matty. I tell you what's really, really important with Pacifica is the fact that, you know, one thing that I've learnt with Pacific Island players and the culture is the draw to family and friends. Like, you know, we've got special draw, but it's just so important. It's just primary in their existence. And so to represent your region like that, there is just so much draw to the top for the top players.
0457 736 736 is the text line, or give us a call this morning, 1300 01 1170. We've still got, of course, Matty's tips for round four. We're going to make them rapid fire from now on, because I realise just how unfair it is to ask you for a tip at, what, 10:30, 9:30, depending on where you're listening on a Monday morning. So we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. And don't forget to Bryden's Lawyers, your verdict. Pick one NRL winner each week for your chance to win $2,500, go to sensurvivor.com.au. Thank you, Vanessa. Matty, I just want to take you back to the first match of round three at Four Pines Park at Brookie, and the Seagulls' performance, as we've already touched on and broken down, you've given your snap judgments, but one thing that popped out of that match in particular, Josh Schuster in the number six jersey. So much focus on, is he going to be fit this year? Yes, he's lost a lot of weight. I mean, we're talking about a sublime talent. And I noticed a couple of things that you said on the weekend that I want you to dive into a bit deeper, because last year in particular, I was like, what's with the no-look passes, mate? What's with the no... Yes, you've got the skill to do it, but what's with it? But now there's a different facet to us. So take us into a bit of a deep dive of what that means and how you do it.
Okay. Like, when you work with a young playmaker, Matty, the most important thing when you're going to ball play is an acute awareness of what you're trying to achieve. You just don't run to the line blind or willy-nilly and just hope for the best. And so the first thing, whether you're calling a shape or even as simple as saying, hey, Matty Wyatt, hit a hole outside the red-headed bloke, you know, something like that. Well, the most important thing then for a playmaker is to understand who his target defender is and who he's got to pull out of shape. Now, Schuster, all his little pausing, his stutter steps and his little look in and play out and no looks, all that is designed to just pull that target defender out. Now, what I saw last year is he was doing all those things purely for the sake of it. It was for the people to look and go, wow, that's a pretty play. But there was, I don't know if there was any rhyme or reason, but this year he's doing the same thing. But crucially, Matty, I can see that it's all about, there is a, for a reason. He's trying to pull that target defender toward him or just try to off-put the defence. And so there is method to it. And that is the difference.
Mm. Yeah, it's quite a talent that he's got, and that 6 and 7 combination that they've got with Daly Cherry Evans, obviously, and Anthony Seibold giving, I guess, Josh Schuster the responsibility around that role and everything that comes with it. And we'll see how that plays out. Let's go to the open line. Craig is there for you. Matty, go for it, Craig.
G'day, Matty. And Matty, how are you, boys?
We're great.
We're going strong.
Matty, firstly, I can feel your pain re-sobriety because I've also been off since the 29th of January, so... almost the end, though. This Saturday, I break the damn wall. that's not why I called.
I'll get the lifeboat out.
Yeah, that's it. Matty, I'm actually interested to see if you genuinely think the Bronx are a premiership threat. Can they go with the Panthers, the Roosters, the Rabbits at the big end of town?
Hey, do you know, Craig? We had this very, very, very discussion before a ball was kicked this year. Now, look, I will believe they can when they go through that difficult part of the season when they lose a few in a row, right? And they start to get some criticism, and whether they can get out of that, because once again, and I cite this as an example, and it was around round 19, I think it was, they were flying. They were talking last season. We were talking about making them, making the top four and being a threat to the top sides. You know that the old Brisbane had finally emerged. They beat the Parramatta side 36-14. I think it was around 18 and 19. Just over a month later, they play the same side, Parramatta, and they get beat something like 52-6. It was 53-6. They got beat. That shows you how dramatically things can go bad with this Brisbane side. Now, I think, I would like to think they've made a sterner stuff this year. All those younger players are a year older, but I will believe they're a contender, a serious contender, when they can get through a difficult period.
Good on you, Craig. Thanks for the call, mate. You used the word, thank you, mate, appreciate it. You used the word, Matty, at the start of the year, trust. About the Broncos, whether or not you trusted them. And I thought about that across the weekend when they were in that hole. I mean, is trust something that you see when they get themselves out of a hole like they did?
Matty, as a football side, you know, when you've got trust within the team, is that I remember we were playing games at times when the confidence is up and the trust in your teammates and the trust that you'll get the job done. That it'd be 9 minutes to go, and we're down by 8 points, and saying to myself, geez, I tell you what, I know we're going to win, but I'm just interested how we're going to get our way out of this. Mm. All right? You've got a certainty about it, and you know how you're going to get about your work, and you go, mate, this is going to be interesting how we do this. When you've lost trust and confidence in yourself, you look up at the scoreboard, and you're leading by 10 minutes or 12 minutes to go, and you're going, oh, my God, how are we going to blow this week? That's the difference. This is Matty, I just get the feeling this is a really important game for the Broncos this week because there is a lot of pressure on them, right? And this is going to be like a semi-final or grand final type atmosphere. Now, if they go out there, right, and they're the little brother knocks them over this week. I just wonder what it does to the confidence of the football side in the weeks following. So it's only early in the year. Get all that, but I just think it's a really interesting game for the Bronx.
Kevvy Walters is showing enormous trust. I mean, he didn't know, nobody knew that Adam Reynolds was going to make that call and go for the two-point field goal, I should say. But, that's trust in your halfback and your skipper who you got there for a certain reason. Trust in Reece Walsh to run those angles and drift wide. Trust in Payne Haas to be the best forward in the game.
It's really interesting to see where they've evolved, because if you go back to when the Broncos first came into the competition, the Broncos were all about swagger. And they lacked a hard edge still. So what he did, Wayne Bennett, he brought in firstly Trevor Gormeister in 1991 to stiffen him up. And then he needed a little bit more steel and a bit of a big guy who could guarantee yardage. So he brought Glenn Lazarus into the side. Suddenly they win competitions, right? How they've evolved at the moment was that they had all this good yardage, but they didn't have, in my opinion, didn't have the swagger. If you like. So he brings Reece Walsh into the side, and what you're seeing now is the swagger and that little bit of arrogance and razzmatazz, which has always been about what the Broncos, how they play about their football.
It certainly worked. 40 points to 18. One more text before we take a break. This one from Adam from North Kellyville. Mate, what can you do to fix my Tigers? He says he also wants to know, because you run Fox Sports, can we please get the people asking the questions a microphone so we can hear what they're asking the coaches? Well, that's back to the clubs and the NRL.
Yeah.
But can you fix the Tigers?
You can. Matty, look, I'm not going to – I don't know what's going – on at training. I think that Timmy Sheens and Robbie and Benji, I reckon they're doing all the right things. At the moment, you've got a young football side that's down in confidence. The one thing you can do is the continuity and familiarity, you've just got to work overtime on that. When I went to the Storm and to work as a halves coach, like I said to Craig, he was like, mate, we're looking to do this, the halves. And I said, but Craig, if you want me to make the halves better, then you've got to give me the back rowers and the fullback and all that as well, because they all work together as a team and they operate. I can't get the halves taken away and say, you should do this, you should do that, because it doesn't mean anything if the other side, if the other players in the team aren't plugged into what they want to do. So we just do drills for hour-long drills. They were the most pedantic, boring drills, but we're all about teaching Cooper Cronk the communication to say, right, I'm getting to this guy, and making sure that back rower never missed the gap, that he hit the right half of the hole at exactly the right time. That's how you get continuity in the football side. And watching that yesterday was that some of the playmakers went to the line, and the edge back rowers and the fullbacks, they were just on a different page. So that's the first thing. I understand, like, there's a lot of stuff like defence and stiffening up, but I just think with the football, they're way down in confidence. If they can fix up that little bit of understanding, there'll be less errors, and that'll help their defence out.
1300 01 1170 is the open line if you'd like to join us. Back after this. Yeah, welcome back. So we've got some news out of NRL headquarters, Matty, that Felice Kaufusi and the Dolphins will contest the dangerous contact charge at the judiciary. So trying, obviously, to be part of Friday night's match against the Broncos. So he's been charged with a grade 2 dangerous contact for that tackle on Jackson Hastings. However, the Dolphins are seeking to have it lowered, the grading lowered, and what they're looking for is a fine here. I think, obviously, if he's unsuccessful, it'll go from 3 to 4 weeks, so because it's his third offence, and that could be the key. He's got priors.
Yep. I think this is really clever from the Dolphins, because I think Wayne would sit there and they go and say, what do you think? And he said, well, what do you think? I think that the game itself would want Felice Kaufusi to be in this contest. I think it's important for him to be in this contest. So let's push him and try to get them to basically try to tell them what they want to hear. So I think it's an outside chance, but I think worth a fight, particularly when you watch the week before with Swali'i. That hit on Chance, Nickel Clockstart, hit him behind. There were similarities there, and Swali'i, he got a fine, albeit he didn't have priors.
You just wonder too, I mean, whether Wayne Bennett let Felice Kaufusi off the leash to start this year, go for it, and whether he knew, I mean, Wayne would have known that he was playing an edgy game in that department, and it's come unstuck in this one. But perhaps they take it down the line, like you say. A risky call could go from 3 to 4 weeks, or it could be a fine. Let's have a listen to Wayne Bennett after the match on what he was when he was asked about the hit on Jackson Hastings.
Are you concerned for Felice, Wayne? Concerned for that incident?
Well, I'm more concerned with his three drop balls than anything else.
He wasn't happy with the game?
No, well, he shouldn't be either. He wants to stay out of my rate for a couple of days. I've got no doubt. I'd be happy to see my face.
So more concerned with the three drop balls.
What a great throw off.
Yeah.
He just didn't buy into it. It's a throw off. And Matty, this just shows you how much Wayne wants to win this football game against the Broncos, in the fact that he's willing to risk losing first for another week just for him to be a part of this game.
We'll see how that plays out at the judiciary. Let's go to the open line. Sparky's on the line about your Warriors. Sparky, good morning.
Good morning, legends. How are you going? MJ, loving your work, mate. Really enjoying your insights and your banter and your sense of humour. So that's really cool. Keep it going, mate. Hey, just looking at the table this morning, of the teams that have played three games, the Warriors have conceded 44 points, and it looks to me like that's so far the best defence to date. So really impressed with that. It's shaping up to be a really good game coming up against, I think we've got the Panthers and Magic round, so that'll be really good to see how they go against them. I'll get to Sean Johnson in a second. I was keen to hear your thoughts on how he's going, because he's looking really good. But like, as a fan, watching the Warriors at the moment, like, you feel like you can really absorb a few good sets of six on the line without conceding. It feels quite, I feel like you can absorb it. So you're not really getting those squeaky bum moments anymore where you're really worried about scoring a try. And then SJ, I think his kicking game and his running game, he's got that confidence back, you know. Little bit of 2011 vintage SJ coming back, which is really encouraging. But yeah, keen to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you make a couple of really good points there. Firstly, on attack and defence, righto. There's a thing they call in the NFL siloing. And this is, they've got to be always really careful of it with an NRL club, in that head coach appoints a defensive coach and an attacking coach. But what that can do sometimes is neither talk. All one thinks about is, well, it's more the attack that becomes the problem. All the attack coach is thinking about is scoring points, but what he's trying to implement brings errors and puts pressure on the defence. You need that holistic approach. Now, I love what Andrew Webster has done, because the attack is complementing the defence. You'll see they're making far less errors with the football. They're playing a more conservative power game, which brings less errors and thus puts less pressure on their defence. Now, the other thing I'm really liking about Sean's playing slower. He's slowing things down. He's more composed. And so he's allowing that side to play a little bit more conservative to save energy in defence, and he's putting more of his focus into those kicks at the end of the set. So at the moment, they're the really good thing for the Warriors. They're a very well-balanced side as far as their energy spread.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate your call, Sparky. Thanks for tuning in, listening to us via the app in New Zealand. 0457 736 736 is that text line. Just a quick one before we go to the break, because I've got to get you round for rapid fire tips. This one from the Melbourne Seagull. Guys, love the show. Is there a club around where you think Luke Brooks would be an ideal fit next year to bring out his true ability? The Melbourne Seagull says, I don't see the Tigers as that ideal fit long term.
It's starting to see that there's just way too much scar tissue on that relationship that can't be mended. That's what it appears to me. Look, there's always been talk about, for the last 2 years, Luke Brooks going to Newcastle. I think that would be a good thing for both parties, but the sticking point will be that Newcastle won't, you know, put it this way, I think the Tigers are going to have to kick in probably 400 to 450, and I don't know whether they're going to be able to do that.
Where does Jackson Hastings then sit in all that?
He goes back to the Tigers.
A straight swap. There you go. Let's take a break on the other side of this, the rapid fire round four tips. We are almost done on the roundup on this Monday morning. Don't forget, more of the morning show is still coming your way. We'll catch up with Brett Phillips and talk tennis, and also some news out of the Formula One Grand Prix overnight. Fernando Alonso has had his podium reinstated pretty much as we speak. So I'll dig into that while Matty gets on with his day. Now, before I go, just quickly, Matty, some more thoughts on what you just said there about Jackson Hastings?
Interesting about Jackson Hastings. If you look at Luke Brooks, he played some of his best football when Hastings went there. So that combination can work. However, that would mean Kalyn Ponga to fullback. And what does it do with Lachie Miller's been our best player? I'll tell you what, it never stops. Maybe Miller goes to 14.
Back to the Sharks. I mean, if you follow...
Well, back to sevens, all the way back to Union.
He was outstanding. Lachie Miller's outstanding on the weekend. Righto, let's get your tips for round four. You went 4 out of 8 in round three. I reckon I went about the same. I'll get Tommy to check on that. But let's start Thursday night, the big one. Obviously, CommBank Stadium, Eels or Panthers?
Oh, 2 week preparation for the Panthers. Got to be the Panthers.
Panthers to win that. Storm v West Tigers. Interesting Friday night.
Storm on just on reputation, but only by a bit. Not as much as we believe.
Okay, Storm to win. Dolphins v Broncos. The Dolphins will be sweating on Felice Kaufusi.
Everything says the Brisbane Broncos, but Wayne has a knack of winning these games. I'll go the Broncos in a classic, but it would not surprise me, okay, Wayne, to pull this off.
Cowboys or Titans?
Cowboys to hit back.
Rabbitohs or Manly?
I will actually say Manly in an upset,
okay,
of sorts.
Warriors, Bulldogs?
I'm going to go the Warriors.
Knights, Raiders?
Please, God, Knights.
Dragons and Sharks, the last one.
Sharkies.
Sharkies to win. Good on you, mate. Have a great week. We'll do it again next Monday.
I loved it, Matty. Thanks, brother.